Reservation. It is a reservation. It acts as a whole. It should have never been. And you know, how can anybody extinguish an Aboriginal right when it is still alive, which will never die, unless all the natives of Alaska are extinguished themselves. That, the way I see it, that is the only way that our Aboriginal rights will be extinguished. And it goes on and further says that there is a clause that says valid existing rights. Now, the way that I see it, those valid existing rights are only for the non-natives that have immigrated from somewhere else to the state of Alaska. In essence, they are protecting, the federal government is protecting them, not us, in essence. And solely, and it is because that they are entities where they are making a lot of money, because the Western civilization solely lives on the dollars. Now, the subsistence way of life has no value. That is, it has no money value. But the miners have a money value to them. That is why they have practically every right to dig up the land which they never even used before, solely to get to extract some money from the land to use it for themselves. And when that is depleted, they leave it scarred. And it takes a long time for Mother Nature to restore its defaced land. And for that purpose, since the subsistence way of life has no value in money-wise, we are sort of downgraded, or in that the federal government and the state government are always reluctant to help us when there is some problems with the big organizations that can throw money around. And in ANCSA, in general, it has been amended so many times since it has been enacted in 1971. And it will be amended further. To my opinion, ANCSA, it isn't for the people, for it is not meant to benefit the Alaska natives. It was made to benefit the outside entities who are making, who have enough money to buy off the corporations. Now we see 1991, and our lands are tax exempt for a period of 20 years. And we as Alaska Natives, are not we're not born to into dealing with the corporations, or in that matter, in dealing with the paperwork. We're born or raised to deal with everything by word of mouth, and that was to us, it was just like writing it down on a piece of paper. But the Western civilization is solely based on the on the fact that everything has to be written down in order for it to be valid. And that is because they are the crookedest people in the world today. I mean, if anything isn't written down in Western civilization's way of life, it's not valid. But in the Alaskan Natives' culture and its way of life, just a word of mouth is good as writing it down on a piece of paper. So as a whole, ANCSA is not really benefiting the Alaska Natives. Look at all the corporations that have filed for bankruptcy, or for that matter, they have been ripped off by the people that are supposedly supposed to help them to get established in their with their corporations. In the long run, all the corporations will exist no more. Maybe just a handful will exist that have people that are working for them that have knowledge of the Western civilization's way of life. So lastly, I'd like to say that ANCSA as a whole should be abolished, or it should have never been passed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Glenn.
My name is Felix Hess. I'm presently living at Nunavichok, but originate from Mountain Village. Before I begin, I would like to share that what I am going to testify didn't come from me. It came from a concerned man that sat down and began talking and thinking about how the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act has affected him. While I sat there listening to what he had to say, you know, you have to feel compelled that something has to be done. It's his own words. Even he's a real great orator, you know, he speaks well. He has to convey it through somebody else. And this is the contents of it's entitled Testimony Submitted by Felix P. Hess, Land Planner, on behalf of Nunavichok Limited. First of all, on behalf of the residents of Nunavichok, Alaska, I would like to take this opportunity to welcome you back to the Association of Village Council Presidents and Chalista Region. I am sure through your village hearings, you have experienced the diversity of Native cultures and concurrently have heard the overall concerns expressed by Alaska Natives regarding the consequential problems being experienced by the profit-oriented regional and village corporations established pursuant to the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of December 18, 1971. What I am about to share with you on behalf of the shareholders of Nunavichok Limited is nothing new based on the previous testimony submitted by all affected parties during the hearings. For the purposes of this special meeting, I would like you and the participants to envision the Claims Act as a large cooking pot that has so many ingredients, and the people that were supposed to benefit from the soup are experiencing a sickness, much like a terminal cancer. The 1991 issues that are being considered by this concerted group of people here are seeking to improve the ingredients of the cooking pot by discarding the distasteful ingredients, which will hopefully alleviate and control this cancerous growth that affects every native shareholder within an established regional or village corporation. I must emphasize that this cancerous sickness did not develop by itself because, in our judgment, it was instigated and induced by the federal government. The federal government has always claimed that they have the authority to exercise their influence in the continental United States and have exercised their influence very well by concocting the contents of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Where is the federal government now? This distant government has no knowledge whatsoever about the consequences being experienced by the regional and village corporations established pursuant to the Claims Act. It is ironic that the federal government instigated an injustice to the Alaska Native people by dwindling us in believing that they own all the land in Alaska. It does not require a lawyer or a knowledgeable person to understand that the Alaska Native people sold their Aboriginal rights to the federal government to approximately 335 million acres of land for roughly $3 an acre. I have come to the conclusion that many of our predecessors that traveled to Washington, D.C. to represent the Alaska Natives may have been coerced into believing that the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act is the ultimate solution for assimilating the Alaska Natives and their very lifestyles and culture. I am sorry to say that this assimilation of the Alaska Native people began with the inception of the Claims Act, and as a consequence, the people directly affected by the Claims Act are discouraged, disgusted, troubled, and even hostile towards the Act. What we previously owned and desired to keep is presently under the jurisdiction of the federal government. The federal government, through its cleverness, included ANCSA Section 17D2 so that it could justify its ultimate authority concerning the public lands throughout Alaska. These same public lands are the lands we claimed as our Aboriginal rights, and consequently we have given up so much to receive so little. Is this how the federal government operates in dealing with the Alaska Native people? It is because of this discrepancy and many other unjustifiable acts of the federal government that the Alaska Native people are voicing their opposition to the intent and purposes of the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act and subsequently the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act. Furthermore, it is because of these acts that many people such as these will assemble together to ensure the protection and perpetuation of the cultures and lifestyle. We have been, time after time, limited as to how we are to conduct and institute some form of government that would justify our very existence. We can only assume that the federal government does not want to deal with us in a more equitable fashion by not recognizing our inherent right to govern our own affairs as best we see fit. The opportunity to establish a government-to-government relationship exists to this very day, but no attempt is being made by the federal government to ameliorate this relationship. The ears of the Alaska Native people are open, but the message they receive from this distant government is discouraging and downright unconstitutional. What solutions, if any, are available to the dilemmas and cancerous problems we presently face today as profit-oriented regional and village corporations? Because the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act was adopted as is, we are being manipulated to act upon the concepts drafted by the Alaska Federation of Natives that claims they represent the consensus of the Alaska Native people. This is a clear example of demagoguery. because it should be the people that delegate what the Alaska Federation of Natives should be doing to protect the Alaska Natives' cultural and traditional existence. To rectify this misrepresentation, the Alaska Federation of Natives recently formed a statewide village steering committee to deal with the 1991 issues at hand. The consensus of the Alaska Native people felt that their concerns were not being represented by the Alaska Federation of Natives, but hope that the new establishment will be the proper vehicle that directs how the Alaska Federation of Natives should function as our political arm in Washington, D.C. References made to the 8 concepts that were introduced as resolutions during the Alaska Federation of Natives annual convention. We feel that the proposed resolutions attempt to heal the wounds and are band-aid solutions to the Claims Act. We have been lectured about the congressional timing as being a key factor for introducing the proposed resolutions as amendments to the Claims Act. We cannot sit back and relax and anticipate that a favorable legislation will be accomplished no matter how much we discuss, disapprove, or approve the concepts. From our standpoint, the concepts concerning land protection, stock alienation, afterborns, dissenters' rights, and benefits for the elders are favorable in their entirety. We sincerely believe that if the proposed concepts are adopted by the consensus of the Alaska Native people, that the existing loopholes of the Claims Act can be sealed to protect the economic viability of the established regional and village corporations. Not only will this ensure Native ownership of corporate lands and resources, and ultimately Native stock ownership, it will also justify our cultural and traditional existence as unique Alaska Native people. We are petitioning to the Commission studying the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act that the report clearly identifies the consequences we have experienced with the Claims Act since its inception. Furthermore, for the record, we are recommending that the report specify the actual beneficiaries of the Claims Act have expended so much time and effort to rectify an injustice that was instigated by the federal government in enacting the Claims Act. In addition, we also recommend the inclusion of our right to govern our own destiny as an indigenous Alaska Native people that is seeking to exercise their inherent right to establishing tribal governments, with or without the consent of the distant federal government. Finally, we strongly feel that the federal government can do more to improve the relationship between the Alaska Native people and their agency by recognizing the traditional and IRA governments, long recognized by the Alaska Natives as the government by the people and for the people since time immemorial. Once again, I would like to take this opportunity to thank you again for lending an ear to the issues and concerns of the Alaska Native people. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Could you leave that with me?
Yes.
Thank you.
My name is Glenn Fredericks, presently residing in Anchorage, born in Sleetmute, enrolled to Georgetown. 26 people were enrolled to Georgetown, it's an old town. In the 71 agreement that we made with the federal government, that village got roughly $43,000 and 69,000 acres of land. And the first mistake we made, I believe, was in this agreement. $43,000 for a settlement. if you were to divide that among the 28 people, it's very minute, very small amount. I believe we acted hastily when the Settlement Act was in Congress. We heard testimonies tonight, and I personally myself was not aware that it was signed and approved and sealed and gave to us 2 years later to say, go out now and interpret what we gave you. And it became very clear to me that mistake number one was not telling the people that were affected the most, and it's you, the Native people, and myself included. The other mistake, I believe, in settling this Claims Act was the kids born after 71. Those kids, we don't know where they are, whether they're, and it came out in testimony, we don't know whether they're Natives or going to be Natives or what are they. That's the second mistake. And it goes on along, and we got 44 million acres of land. They gave us that land, or we made agreement with them, apparently. And the next year they came out with regulations. We have talked, and I know most of you, we have talked about these regulations coming from Washington, D.C. directly, telling us these are the things you have to do. Our time as we work with the corporation has dealt mostly with regulations that come out of the federal office in Washington. If you were to gather all the monies that has been spent to this day on legal fees fighting the federal government on regulations, it would be astronomical. Astronomical. But that's what we settled for. We have sold, I think, and somebody mentioned it, our right to that 44 million acres and close to $1 billion. And again, I mentioned the afterborns. Then you go on to the other phase, which is more important, I believe, is the big question of 1991. I believe, even though in my mind the law itself was not right, because of the fact, if we sit here today and raise our hands, did we have the knowledge or did we know of the act when it became a being? We'd all raise our hands because we did not know what we got into. I'm not criticizing nobody. The Native leaders at that time saw it in their best judgment, I imagine, to make these settlements. Remember when we first started in 19, I started working with the corporations, and I traveled to almost every, trying to explain even what a corporation was. That's the other mistake. They give us a Western entity that we never dealt with. We have always been traditional. We can deal with that. But yet they give us a corporation that even right today, half of us probably don't even know what it is. But we have to deal with it, I believe. I would say that we made a deal with the federal government, whether we like it or not. And we have to make the best of it. There are ways, I believe, to overcome some of these things. For instance, 1971 kids, we have a draft resolution to that effect. I think those kids should be enrolled somehow. And only Congress can do that. So we have to be united, and we have to talk about these things. We've been talking about them for 10 years. But we have to come to grips with it, because that was what the law required. It is the law. We have many, I think, opportunities as Native groups throughout the state of Alaska to work together and possibly change some of these things that we talked about, IRAs. Maybe that's the way we should have went, but we didn't have the chance at that time to put our input like we are now, trying to get input. And that's how democracy should work. We're no different from anybody else. We want to protect our lifestyle. Nobody out there in Washington shouldn't be telling us without first informing us what we want. Nobody has ever asked us that. We have regulations that I briefly talked about. The next thing they did was they wanted easements right through our lands. First easements were 6 miles wide, all through the state of Alaska, all through the native lands. We fought that, went to court, an amount of money, your money, by the way, your money that you settled for, and on and on and on. Now the big question, and that's what we're here to talk about, is the question of 1991. In fact, right today, the village corporations or the regions don't even have their lands transferred or titled to them. And here we got 8 years or so before we can go out to the public. They're not even surveyed, by the way, leaps and bounds. How can they do this to us, you know? How can they possibly, the United States government, do something like that? We haven't even got the land that we apparently agreed to right today. We have never yet, as village corporations that I sit on, transferred 1 acre to our shareholders. And here in 1991, eight more years, we're going to probably sell some of that. Isn't that a disservice, you know? And apparently that's what we settled for. That's apparently what we settled for. But I think by working together, these kids and going and being united in whatever fashion that we see, whether it be IRAs or other different entities that we are familiar with as natives, and get consensus and go back and say, this is what we'd like to have, to amend these things, you know. And I think that's the only way I see an out for this, is by consensus of the people of what we want. Millions, literally millions of dollars has been spent on mistakes I don't think we made. But it was forced on us. We must realize that. I think we must realize this law is law, whether we like it or not. And there's people out here, and I agree to some degree that this law should be repealed. But chances of doing that is very, very slim. Because United States Congress is way out there, 4,000, 5,000 miles away, and we're up here, and as you and I know, they don't come up here and ask us. Why would they change it? Why would they repeal it? So what I'm saying is, we must work together. We may have disagreements on some of these things, but we're always I think in my mind, going for the same purpose. The same purpose is to save that land at all cost. At all cost. We do have resolutions in AFN that could deal with those. And hopefully, by getting consensus of the people of the state of Alaska, we can at least take these amendments. Because 1991 isn't very far away. If Congress doesn't even want to hear us when we propose these things, they don't have to hear us. Then what are we going to do? There are other ways, I think, if we can get Congress to give us what we want, there's other ways. I think we all understand that we are incorporated as state corporations. Maybe the corporation laws, statutes could be changed to reflect our concerns on a state level, to accommodate these things. I think we can do that, again, only one way, by the consensus of the people. Let's talk about it. Let us not rush down there and not know what we're getting into. And then 5 years from now, the consequences then will start showing up, just like this act that we're dealing with today. Let's think it through. We may not be smart, but we sure can hire them people to write all this stuff. But we have enough common sense to protect what is was rightfully ours as Alaska Native people. But we have to use the Western system as for time being to change what we got, what we settled for. And those instruments, I believe, can be gotten by changing the amendments to upgrade or to even protect that land. I believe if we don't do anything, in 1991, 2 days later, our corporation here, consisting of 1,220 shareholders, if half of them people were to sell out, and we have few dollars, and they sell out to the outside Western civilizations, we have nothing. They take control of the 1,000,000 acres that we have. And where does that leave us? So we have to think about these things, you know. We got this act. Mind you, again, I will repeat that I did not know what it consists of when they signed it. Till today, in fact, I still don't know what it consists of. But we do know that we accepted that. It is a document, a legal document. And I really believe only the people here, united and working together, can make these amendments to upgrade and change for the benefit of all Alaskans, really, not just Native people. We are a minority. Look at the state of Alaska. Look at the influx of people coming out, coming into the state. They no more care about you and I. They don't even know we exist. Right there in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, you can name them big cities. And they can outvote us. So those are some of the things we have to think about. We as Natives, yes, the big part, but we have to look the broader picture because they have the same right as we do to vote. And we have to make our feelings known and try to implement what is the best consensus we can get of the people that we deal with the native people. I believe that there was a lot of mistakes. For instance, I believe a mistake, very large mistake, was made with two things. One is the money that we received and the land. When they made the act, they should have separated the two. And I believe that can still be done. That way, if you were to sell your stock, if the two were different things, that way the thing you would be selling is the stock, the money that we got from the federal government, and leave the land and protect that land. There must be ways, IRAs we talked about, there are ways we can do it. And hopefully before 1991, we can come to consensus to do something like that. I hope this commission, in making recommendations, take a look at how, and you yourself, Mr. Berger, has appeared in 52 villages or so, the concerns of the people. The biggest concern is the land. Hopefully, you would strongly make these recommendations to whoever these recommendations are going to, how you have sat in these meetings, and that's the first thing they say is land. Protect that land. Now, there must be a sympathetic ear somewhere in United States Congress and to do that. If they don't do that, I would say that as Native people in 1991, our survival rate is going to be very, very low. We'll still be Natives, but our land will be somebody else's. And Mr. Berger's commission here has taken testimony from all walks of in all different nations. They same problem exists everywhere to the native people of that certain country that he talked to. So we have a lot as Native people to writing on this thing. And we must deal with it. We must deal with it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Fredericks.
My name is Tommy Moses from Imaak. Kasudan kui kan tuyako tagwam yuktuktana kui piukto. Hui yuppiungama yuktun kanaktuwa takhtakilukul pinga takanani naku bichikaka. Tammani tanniku khasamni ayak yakala nuttan school anak mak awakan mukun awane magame yut angul khon ka shakhlutin sage ingalutin yut nakh kam khne ta muy talutin bisok be mukhne lo makut mane angul khokhlet mat nit khnaqta janak nak tagam Not Tunat and Chanak Nictagum, Pink Sutting is that not Angulshanka. What to my Hongkota Mani, you picnic, Kasatan, I oxygrek, to Saranak Smakonak, to Sarank Suta. Tamakut youth, Kanawaka you chuckle, tamai. I thought Kinrilamchu. What Tatakunutaran Makon Kazakh King Luton, Sharon Totten Kanang Luton. Juan Kutamani Kim Tayut to Tarakloch Smakut Mani, Jait Kabistu, Tamakunik. Juan Kutam Wilakon Mahon, Chikikiumayakput. Tamak to Tarlop. My Emirish Kumashakot. Kane Chalistum. Chale Corporation Namta. Tamak to Mane to Tarlop Kingum Tayut after 1971 Yuchtret. Juan Kutabirus come to Tamakon Kizatnik Chikhnaluki. To Atna Ayakshot. I was like, I'm going to go to the house. 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 I'm going to Akmani Kashat Utakalikot Huangkota Kwani after 1991 Prukan Dailutin Kibujukshika Cheratin Manlamani Huangkota Nunaput Dailutin Kibujungchikait Yukayok Yutayok Suitut Izita Tunvikshika Huatin Manlamani Chunakput Nun.